Father, we just thank you. We can gather. We thank you for protecting us yesterday at that inauguration. And Lord, we do want to pray for the government. Without you, we have nothing. But here we are today, Lord, to rejoice and to pray and to look at a prayer in the Bible that we can learn from. We can learn from all of your prayers in the Bible, Lord. And so guide us now as we look at the prayer in Philippians, Lord, from the Apostle Paul, written by the Holy Spirit to the people of Philippi, Lord. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. This prayer is so much about love, and there's so much love from Apostle Paul to the Philippians that I thought we would begin by singing More Love. And it's all based on Christ. All based on Christ is the center here of the whole Philippians letter. And so let's sing to begin, More Love to Thee, O Christ, More Love to Thee. So this morning, as we look at this prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, I think it's important to see the context of which it was written. Paul has gone to Macedonia earlier and established the very first church in Europe is in Philippi, and he had taken with him Timothy, and of course he had Silas with him, and we know that Dr. Luke had joined them at this point because the pronoun in Acts chapter 16 changes to we. So at least those four were with him, or three were with him. And we know that there are some problems in the church. First of all, he's writing this letter to them basically as a thank you note, because they were the only church that gave him any support. It probably was not very a lot of money because they're a poor church, but they gave him aid. They gave him aid when he was at Thessaloniki, it says. And we believe they gave him some aid maybe another later time. And he is writing him a thank you note, but he's also using this thank you note in this letter to tell them about unity and to tell them that the unity must be based on Christ. And there apparently were some divisions in the church. We have one specifically mentioned in chapter 4. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to what? He didn't take sides on this dispute. He said what? Be of the same mind in the Lord. So that's a good application for us, isn't it? When we see arguing and we see division, it's good to pray that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And he tells them that in Christ be united. He tells them be of the same mind that I mentioned in verse 1 in chapter 4. He tells them to stand fast. In verse 4, he tells them to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing but everything in thanksgiving by prayer and thanks supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. So this is the background of this letter that he's writing them. And in the very first chapter then, he gets into this prayer. And in verse 3, after a brief introduction, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So that's the prelude to this short three-verse prayer, verses 9 through 11, and here's the prayer. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So a short prayer, but I think it's always good to look at the word that in these prayers, because that is what the prayer is praying for. We pray that, and then what's after the that? Well, there's basically three major that's in this little prayer. The first one is that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So he is commending them on their love, but he's also commending them to keep progressing in their love, not just to stand where they are, but that it may abound, and this means to greatly abound. It may increase still more and more, and not just love blank, but love in what? In knowledge and discernment. Because to really have love in Christ, you need knowledge, awareness of Christ, and awareness of the Word of God, and then you need discernment. You need to know how to direct your love. In other words, what things do you love? What things don't you love? You should not be loving evil. You should not be loving sin. You should have discernment on what you love. So he's saying that your love may abound still more and more, still more and more. It's just keep going in Christ, loving more and more in all knowledge and discernment. And then the second, that you may approve. That word approve is to test or to work through or to experience and learn from. That you may approve what? The things that are excellent. That is such an important thing. It seems to me that we would be concentrating on the things that are excellent. And there's so much around us that's anything but excellent. Mm. And how often we get caught up into that and we get all involved in the things that are not excellent, where we need to be approving or testing or being proven in the things that are excellent. And then the third that is that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Sincere, that's that old term that was used for without wax, basically, is what it means. And in the old days when they would, chisel these marble statues, sometimes near the end, an ear would break off or a nose would break off. And they would put it on. They didn't use glue. They used wax, but it was like glue for us. And it looked really good. But you would take the, buy this statue or whatever, you'd take it home, and then the sun would shine on it or whatever, maybe through a window. It'd warm up a little bit, and then the nose would fall off or the ears would fall off because they were waxed on. So sincere means no wax, no faults, no impurities. And so this, that you may be sincere without impurity, basically, and without offense. Now, the Pharisees were very sincere, but they had a lot of offense. And so he's asking for sincerity without offense. And this offense can take many forms, but basically, if you just think, if your life is one that's drawing Christ to you, if your life is one that's drawing people to Christ because of you, then that's great. But if your life is one that's offending Christ and pushing people away for whatever reason, that's not where we want to be, right? That is not proving things that are excellent by pushing people away from Christ. So this offense could be any outward action, such as maybe living in a continual sin, you know, maybe saying, yeah, I know the Bible says I shouldn't commit adultery, but I think in my case it's okay. And so maybe you're in a continuous adulterous situation or something like that. We want to be without offense. So sincere and without offense for how long? Well, till the day of Christ. Till we're with Christ, right? So that's whenever that is. Whether that's a rapture or whether it's taking us home one by one, we are to be approving the things that are excellent, sincere and without offense, and then what? Being filled with what? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness? Well, you could probably go in a number of ways in defining that. It certainly would include the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, and then the other examples of love. There are nine of them there, I believe, in Galatians 5:22-23. But it would be filled with all of those things. Fruits come from what? From abiding in Christ, right? It's not something you're going to produce on your own. It's not something you can go out and work real hard and spend a lot of elbow grease and say, okay, I'm producing fruit. You can't do that. The fruit has to be produced by abiding in Christ. And it's that righteousness which is right living, or the living in accordance with the Word of God. And it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ. So it's Christ-like living, isn't it? How much Christ-like living is in us? How much Christ-like living is in me? And is it increasing or not? But we want to be filled with that fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. For what reason? To give self-glory? Oh, no. To give glory and praise to the Lord. Our whole lives are to glorify Him, right? So you put that all together once again. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for all the prayers in the Bible, but Lord, may our prayer this morning be led by your Spirit. May our prayer this morning bring praise and glory to you. And Lord, may our prayer be fruitful because it is led by the Spirit. We know our prayers are very powerful, not because of us, but because of you. We know you want us to pray and you invite us to pray. But a prayer that's not led by the Spirit is not probably in accordance with your will. The promise that we have is that if we ask anything according to your will, you will hear us, because you want to do more than we want whatever your will is to be done. But you will work through us and use our prayers if our prayers are in accordance with your will. So may we pray as led by the Spirit this morning, and may the Lord be glorified in this time. Let us pray now. We'll pray first in a group, and then a little later we'll break into individual, little two by two or whatever it is. And Lord, in those that two by two session, then we can get into personal things. We can get into, everybody can pray. But in the group here, let's keep them short and just keep filled with the Spirit as we as we go to the Lord in the areas that we would be led to pray in. Let us pray.